Hi, I'm Dan Jones with CFWN in Cobourg, Ontario. An online petition is seeking to garner enough signatures to declare homelessness and opioid addictions in Cobourg as a state of emergency. The petition, created by Jordan Stevenson of the Integrated Homelessness and Addictions Response Center, aims to recognize the community impact of these issues and begin the collective response on how to address these problems.
It's to declare a state of emergency for homelessness and the underlying and intersectional opioid crisis as well. How it's devolved thus far and just how bad it's gotten in the community, and that's across the province as well. It's not just us that is facing these issues, but I think locally it's gotten to a point where we need to recognize that this isn't sustainable. It's either going to continue, I mean, best case scenario, we sustain current levels and current situation. But given the current implementations of services and systems and all of that, we're not set up to start to tackle that and actually reverse course. And currently the trend is actually the opposite. It's getting worse. And so at what point do we say, you know, this is absolutely impacting everybody in the community? We have to call a spade, and that, in my opinion and in the opinion of many others, is declaring a state of emergency.
So, in your opinion, what resources would open if the state of emergency was declared?
So, the act in and of itself is not necessarily triggering of any specific service or any specific resource. It's what follows after that, and it's the collective effort to actually make use of that state of emergency, for example, collaborating via resources and opening up, you know, the incident command center, and having a proper IMS, so the incident management system, set up to treat this as if it was an actual emergency, which it is, similar to how, for example, a wildfire is treated. When we see a wildfire, we don't say, oh, well, you know, it's pretty bad, but we're just gonna, you know, let it continue to devolve. We mobilize resources, we get the teams in there, and we set up incident command, and we tackle it. And if that involves, you know, the Red Cross for moving and assisting residents in that scenario, you know, it's all one fluid operation, and that's what incident command and overall, you know, states of emergency they're designed for, is that. Humanitarian and that disaster response. It's a proven system, but it has to be utilized correctly. If you look at somewhere like Belleville, where they declared a state of emergency, but it was almost symbolic, without much substance, then we're just going to be in the same position, and it's not worth it.
Now, you're on the ground talking to homeless people. Paint a picture of what the situation is like currently. How many people are homeless? What are their situations before we address your solutions of what may come next?
Yeah, so currently the situation is, it's a lot worse off than last year, not even just with the closing of a warming hub with nothing on the horizon for this winter. There's also the crackdowns in the parks and public sleeping, the actual one place of refuge that was commonly used is commonly referred to as the warming wall. So it's behind town hall. It's where there's a heating duct that pushes out hot air, excess air, and bylaws started enforcing people not being allowed there, and so there's really no place to warm up overnight. And so it's become just absolutely critical, especially as the weather drops. We got down to 3 degrees this morning, if not lower. And so people are quite literally freezing to death, and that's not even accounting for, you know, substance use. Now, with that being said, I understand why we're here. A lot of folks do understand why we're here. A lot of people that I work with understand that the actions of a few individuals impact everybody, be that, you know, the theft and the impact to neighbors. On top of that, you know, just seeing and bearing witness to overdoses downtown, that's not a normal thing. I did a survey earlier this year about the number of people who have actively responded or participated in overdose response, just members of the public. And it was quite shocking to see, you know, just how many people had intervened in an opioid overdose or suspected overdose situation, you know, where they're providing naloxone, they're doing CPR. And these are just regular citizens who haven't signed up for that. And the trauma and the you know, psychological effects is going to be so much to tackle once we even get through the bulk of this. We haven't even you know, begun to address the core issue, so it's going to continue to happen. One social worker that I talked to, who works in a clinical setting, equated this to being like a war zone, and he's a local, and said that it's not even smart to treat the underlying trauma and mental health, because we're just opening people up to be re-exposed and become worse off. And so that really struck me, and it kind of hammered home the need to address root cause issues across the board.
So then talk about the root causes. What do you believe the root causes are, and where do you start to solve those issues?
I mean, there is no single root cause per se. You have individuals that are suffering acute mental health episodes or crises that are, arguably not individual crises, but just perpetual mental health episodes or conditions that are not being treated. And so a lack of inpatient capacity for that. You have opioid or substance abuse or substance use disorder that is common among a lot of folks. And I say common not to paint a negative picture of or a stereotype of people that are living homeless. It's just a fact of the matter of the people that I deal with, that 90% are, an easy 90% are actively using substances. And I think that's not necessarily the root cause of their homelessness per se. There's been a number of instances where somebody becomes homeless and they then start using substances as a result of that. And so it's like a vicious cycle. And when we do these patchwork solutions, like the treatment bed program that we have locally, which is great, it's an amazing opportunity, resource, and it's a great effort. But when we're releasing people back, the only offer for shelter after the fact is, 310, if they get into 310, then they're going to be subject to the exact same environment. And as I mentioned yesterday in the council meeting, everybody that I've been involved with that has gone through that program has relapsed. That's just the fact of the matter. And it's nobody's fault per se. It's just the system as it stands is not set up for success.
So where can I go and sign on to the petition?
So it's iHeart.ca. There's a big red banner on there. It says to sign the petition.
And when you get enough signatures, where are you going to submit the petition? To Cobourg Council or?
Yeah, so it'll be Cobourg Council. That's the goal, yeah.
Reporting for CFWN and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Dan Jones.